Slow down and have a plan. Whether you're keeping replacement heifers or you're selling them, the current market environment and lots more. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode. The American Galvey Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Superior Livestock Productions and Superior Livestock Auction, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station.
Cattle Battle.
Rebuilding the cow herd. Keep or cull. Take the cash or invest in the future of the cow herd. Now, here was a question that was posted on Facebook. Would you borrow money to expand your herd in today's market conditions? And here were some of the different replies. One person said, consider the input costs like fuel and fertilizer and chemical and feed and vet and everything. They say nothing costs the same. Interesting. One person said, we did. It worked. Another person, nope. Then, nope. Pay cash only. No, nope. Yes. Only if a really good deal is found on animals, it's the only way to get ahead. Another person says, nope, expenses and cattle are way too high. Well, we are at a very interesting point in our production cycle with the prices that feeder cattle are bringing. And even after the recent drop, it's awfully hard to make that decision. I totally get it. Cash in the hand, pay down debt. But what about the years down the road, a few years down the road? Where will we be at? Are we going to try to purchase outside of our herd for replacement females? Is there a supplier that we normally go to? Many, many different variables go into making those decisions, or commitments and investments, I should say. Ask 100 different operators and you're going to get 100 different variables and variations and factors to 100 different answers. But this may be just the time to reevaluate where we are genetically with the cow herd. And it may be just the opportunity to make the changes we need when prices are what they are. So before pulling that trigger in either direction, slow down and look at the different variables, the pros and cons. I'm joined today by Dr. Blaine Corners, a Beef Strategic Technical Service Managing Cattle Nutritionist, and Dr. Dan Tracy, a Beef Technical Services Veterinarian for Zoetis Animal Health. Guys, I know you both are in favor of whether we are keeping replacements or planning on buying them. Let's pull back, slow down, and do it right.
Yeah, have a plan in place. It's like, what's our trajectory in the next 5 years? Where do you want to be and when are you going to start retaining? Great, we're going to do that. Now, you know, let's rub our hands together. Now let's get excited about this, because now we have an opportunity to set the tone of the herd again, to maintain the tone that we have, or to change the trajectory. And that's how you select your heifer battery. That's how you purchase. That's how you grow them. Get them to ideal size when we want to, you know. That's why, you know, monitoring, management, body condition score, nutrition, really leveraging that side of it to get where we need to be. Going as far as putting an arm in them and going, are they cycling to genomics, to genetics, what traits we want to follow and where we're going to build that moving forward as a female part of that herd. So I don't, you know, we need, to me it's a little bit exciting because there may be an opportunities in some herds. It's like, yeah, that's where I am. I'm down. But y'all need to rebuild. I have this opportunity with grass or pastures, and we're going to make that decision. With me, it's like, let's make that good decision. Let's just not just settle for a slot, because that may cost you, whether you're bringing in disease, whether it's not the line that you want to bring it in, or we just, whatever the case may be, dystocious, whatever the same may be, or just not where you want to head. But that's kind of where, you know, this is a positive, because you're right, we can go either way. And in the microclimate of each herd, depending on the herd size and size. So to me, we have to have a plan in place of how we're going to select those animals, how we're going to immunize them, how we're going to grow them to meet our goals as we start to develop these heifers, sire selection based on those animals and moving forward. And that's going to pay us dividends on through that the whole life of that female moving forward, even after she pays for herself. And that's the goal, right? Is after, even after she's paid her bill, to continue to be a productive member. Hey, we sell pounds, right? Cow-calf guys sell pounds. And, you know, that all translates to and how we're going to manage that calving season. That's the discussion you need for us. Like, where, what are our ideals of our calving season? And what's the goal of moving more in the front end of that, selling more pounds? And that's outside of any genetics. That's outside of anything else. Just making those decisions, those goal marks, to have plans in place. If we do have a dry year and we got heifers we're growing, we need to have relationships with nutritionists to say, okay, we need to start supplementing. Because if I don't get that animal bred, or she breeds, she does conceiving calves a little later than we wanted to because she's not ideal weight or body condition score, you can't hardly turn that back.
And the fact that it's a few years before we even know the decisions that we made today, if they were the right ones.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, the other thing that all this comes full circle is when we're making these predictions, you got to build that herd around what your forage base is. And people tend to get, you know, my calls come and go based on, are we an $8 corn market, a $4 market, is the soy crush down and we can't find soy hulls, has soybean meal gone up, is it down? I get a lot of those calls, and we tend to run on a week by week basis and our decisions change. But in what we're doing in rebuilding this herd, we got to look at the long-term look. How much forage am I going to have? Because that is a base of everything I do. I may have to supplement, you know, replacement heifers at a half or 1% of body weight. What's the average cost going to be and what's going to be available to me? And let me build around what I know is going to be available. And we'll go up from there. So from a nutrition perspective, that's where I like to start.
Here is the takeaway and the reminder, if you will. Look at your forage situation, nutrition, sustainability, weights, birth dates, how these potential females may or may not fit into your existing plan, reproductive soundness, body condition score. Have that plan. Take your time making that decision, whatever it may be. Dr. Blaine Corners and Dr. Dan Tracy with Zoetis Animal Health. Appreciate it, gentlemen. Next week, since it is our 300th anniversary, 300 episodes, we talk technology, gadgets, tools in the toolbox, where you never lose your critters. Again, I witnessed this one firsthand. Be sure to tune in next week for our 300th episode. Well, it's time for a break. Now, coming up on this episode, we talk the current cattle market, the latest news, and more of the cow stuff right here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show. Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7 pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House, and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cow herds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your All Things Ranching newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with y'all. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, rants, it doesn't matter. You can call or text. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, and prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. The Video Royale sale from Superior Livestock kicks off on Monday, at Winnemucca, Nevada. Another one that people are watching with great anticipation. Trent Stewart of Redmond, Oregon, an auctioneer, owner of Central Oregon Livestock Auction, and a rep for Superior Livestock, joins us previewing the sale. Hey, Trent, thanks for the time. What are we looking at for numbers on this one?
There's 137,000, I think. If it's not, it's 138,000, but nearly 140,000.
And where is kind of the representation geographically of those cattle, or is it like any sale that it's pretty much from north, south, east to west? It just happens to be the location of the sale is in Winnemucca.
That's correct. But there is also a high supply region one cattle on this sale. So, I mean, a lot of cattle in, if you want to call them a contemporary group out west, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, some California, some Washington, but Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, bunch of them on this sale.
So what has been the buyer mentality, other than they got to get these things bought and get them placed? When you have visited, obviously customers are just feeling good right now, those guys that are selling. But what has been the buyer mentality when they're out there and they're looking for calves? Are they looking for program cattle? Are they looking for just cattle? Are they looking for if it's got four legs and goes moo? What has been kind of your take on it, that this is what maybe buyers are gravitating more one way or the other?
You know, I think that they've kind of gravitated more towards some commodity cattle. Of course, everybody's got a different structure and maybe a branded beef program that's out there that they have to fill slots for. But with as high as these cattle have been, the competition has been fierce for a lot of these program cattle, especially the cattle that are bred well. There's a lot of performance behind them, pedigree. They're all rising to the top, and the competition's fierce for them. So some of those guys that were always buying program cattle have maybe kind of taken a different direction and started trying to chase some commodity cattle as well to fill their needs.
So when you're visiting with your customers, be it through your sale barn or be it through working with Superior or working with your bull sale guys too, I mean, with your seed stock guys, when you're starting to kind of analyze these markets and with what we're going through, what are you telling them? Because everybody, you get this call a million times a day. They want you to shake your magic eight ball. And what are these calves going to bring? So what are you telling guys? Are you saying, hey, that's a magic question. If I knew that answer, I wouldn't even be in this business. Is it work on your break even? Is it get your expenses dialed in so you know what you need to bring? Is it be a price taker versus a price maker? What are you talking to guys like me, the commercial guys? What are you telling us?
I'm telling them, you know, buy the very best bulls that you can afford. Never slack there. And you always have a quality product that's under high demand, and you're going to kind of fetch top of the market, for one. I don't know enough about everybody else's break evens or their input costs, because everybody, as you well know, has vastly different input costs out there. So they usually know certain sets of cattle that have fed well for them in the past, and they traditionally try to stick with it and buy those certain strings of cattle. And right now it's at exorbitant prices, you know, levels that we've never seen before. And I think that there's a lot of gravity involved there. It takes an enormous amount of money and investment right now to play this game. So, you know, I try to stay out of that realm and just encourage them to buy a product that they've had before, that's reliable, that's got a lot of accuracy behind it. And then on the flip side, like I'd started with my opening statement to this question, on the production side, buy the very best bulls that you can afford, because in the long run, they will be the most affordable.
So what are you thinking is going to happen this fall? Here I just said magic eight ball, and I had to throw this at you. But what are you thinking this fall? Do you think we're going to see a rally like we saw last year? Do you think that's going to be pulled back a little bit? I guess if we look at, you know, the last few weeks with what fats have done, they've come down a little bit. There's been a lot of economists that have come out and said, is the tide turning? Are we having something else? People are raising an eyebrow at it. So what's your thoughts on going into this calf market?
You know, I think that we've been super lofty. We're $400 or $500 a head higher than we were last year when we thought it can't get any higher. But this time I truly feel like maybe several weeks ago we found the very top of this market and found that threshold. The fact that these fat cattle have come down some, I think has a lot to do with a wall of calf feds. You know, these 7-weight cattle that we locked up in November and December last year, the packers have some inventory around them. They're going to have leverage for a few weeks. After that, once we get into, and I don't know whether that's August or September or October, but at some point I think they're going to get short again. We're going to get some leverage back. It may be a healthy adjustment to where we went so that every link in the chain can go on making money and those packers can remain current, because we all know when they start to back up, then we're going to lose leverage because our tonnage is still there. We're making these cattle, you know, far bigger than we ever have before. So we're keeping up with that tonnage. And I know they're trying to mitigate demand too and try to make sure that they have enough product to supply, you know, everybody and all their obligations that are out there without getting in a bind. So there's a lot of kind of meat science that goes behind that as well when it comes to marketing. But I personally feel that once we get 3 or 4 weeks down the road, that these fat cattle are going to hold or maybe even go back up in price. I don't know that we'll see this go down, you know, 20 or 30 bucks a hundred more, because the demand is still there. The public seems like they're still, the consumers are still eating it, even at these very, very high levels. So we didn't just go make a million, you know, 1.5 million more fat cattle, or just put that many cows in production. You know, that takes, you know, 18 months or better, you know, to try to build that supply up. And I don't think we've done that yet. From what I've seen, the state of Oregon's on fire right now. Mm-hmm. And drought is you know, prominent throughout the entire West. So herd expansion, I don't know. There's a lot of older cows that come to town. They got a fairly young cow herd, which is really, really great. But as far as significant expansion, you know, and back in 14 or 13 when we saw that, we had 3% money. And now we're still sitting at 8% money. And I think that slows down a lot of this expansion. That and just not having any water.
Trent, thanks so much for the time. Next week, Monday through Thursday, the Video Royale from Superior Livestock. You can watch the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 or head to sla-tv.com. Again, Dish Network Channel 997 or head to sla-tv.com. For sale results from Superior Livestock sales, head to ranchchannel.com. We've got them all laid out there for you, or head to superiorlivestock.com. Now, some dates to mark down. Next Friday is the catalog deadline for the Bighorn Classic. Friday, August 8th, is the video deadline for the Bighorn Classic. And Monday and Tuesday, August 10th and 11th, is the Little America sale from Western Video Market. Time for a quick break. When we come back, a market recap, and we answer, why did fat cattle recently take a hit? You're listening to the Ranch It Up radio show. Go nowhere and keep it parked.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Video Royale sale is coming up July 27th through the 31st, followed by the Bighorn Classic. To consign to the Bighorn Classic, cattle need to be cataloged by July 31st and videos need to be submitted by August 7th. Again, July 31st for the catalog and August 7th for the videos to consign to the Bighorn Classic. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
I run a 150 cow-calf operation.
2 years ago, Nick Small of Fullerton ran into scours in his cow-calf operation.
I had a big problem with coccidiosis scours, and it went through my whole herd.
The next year, after getting his herd on a dosage of Pharmatan Sweet Chestnut Tannin, how many cases of scours did you have?
Zero. I'm not kidding. I didn't have any.
Learn more at PharmatanUSA.com or call Joe Knopp at 402-340-3323.
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. That time in the program, we bring in Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, recapping the numbers from last week. So, Kirk, I'm going to throw some things at you here in a little bit, but first go through the numbers for us, if you would, please, buddy.
All right, Tigger. Well, good morning, and good morning to all your listeners. As of Friday, July 17th, August feeder futures closed the week at 345.92.5. That's down 8.45 on the week. Feeder index down 6.39 at 364.03. That left the basis versus August feeder futures at positive $18.10. So a very, very wide basis in feeders still. August live cattle closed the week at 224.35. That's down 10.65 on the week, with cash trading 240 early in the week, but then closing the week at 235 to 2 in the north and 237 to 238 in the south. That was the largest weekly decline in cash fat cattle in many years, and left the five area weighted average down $9.41 at 238.59 on a very good test of 13,826 head. The basis versus August for live cattle was positive $14.24. So still a very wide basis in live cattle also. Choice boxes lost another $15.87 to close the week at 366.81. That's where all the weakness is flowing from, the struggle with boxes. Weekly slaughter was 525,000 head. That's down 4,000 head from last week and 42,000 head below the same week last year. And then that number, that weekly number being so much lower, is what's got me concerned about the next cattle on feed coming out. We are just simply not killing enough cattle, even though our placements are very low. Dressed weights were up 2 pounds at 887, which is 23 pounds over last year. The combination left yearly production steady versus last week at 5.9% less than last year. Fresh beef imports, also another area of concern, remained at 11% over last year. Kind of a breakdown of that, we got Brazil up 1% at 11% over last year. Australia up 1% on the week to 15% over last year. New Zealand up 2% on the week to 5% over last year. Canada at 2% over, and Mexico at 25% over. So obviously our high beef market is definitely drawing a lot of attention from foreign sellers. To wrap this up, December corn futures closed the week at 468.25. That's up 8 cents on the week, with wheat and beans pulling corn higher.
So what the heck happened here last week, Kirk? Is the tide changing that we've talked about for the last several months? I know a lot of people have been on social media and everything and saying, oh boy, we could maybe be changing a little bit. So what the heck's going on?
I think we need to take a step back and realize where we were a couple of weeks ago. And in my opinion, where we were is a very irrational bull market. Throw break evens out the window, throw concerns out the window. Basically, we're short of cattle, which we are short of cattle relative to feedlots. I'm not so sure we're short of cattle relative to beef demand. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we had a very irrational market. Pay whatever you have to get them bought and get them bought. Well, since then, boxes ended their seasonal high demand. We never got really over $4, so they didn't rally at all through the best demand part of the year. And then they proceeded to sell off. 366 boxes is not very supportive and is very concerning. And some of that is seasonal, but I think you got to kind of question, with the struggle we've seen in boxes and the best demand, are we going to see much of a bounce back in box beef prices, you know, once August kind of gets behind us? I do think we'll see a bounce in boxes after August is behind us, but I do not think it's going to be a carbon copy of last year where we rallied back to those highs and everything worked hunky-dory. So in essence, what I guess I'm saying is we got to start making these number work, the pass-through from the cow-calf guy to the feedlot guy to the packer to the retailer. Those economics need to start working. And unfortunately, the last 2 weeks started seeing that shift to make those numbers work.
The best selection tools allow you to be proactive. Hair shedding is one of those. Hey, hey, I'm Shay Wanner, and I host the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. Jamie Corder and I sat down for a conversation about why some cattle shed hair differently, how ranchers can use this information, and more importantly, what hair shedding ability indicates. Here's a portion of our conversation.
but what if you could select for hair shedding and have less opens, right? And have more of them that are bred? Or what if you could select for hair shedding and increase your weaning weight by 20 pounds, right? On average per calf, right? Essentially, hair shedding is kind of a preemptive selection to create better genetic merit within your cattle for all of these other traits that are either directly or indirectly impacted by hair shedding. And the other thing that I'll note too, hair shedding is just as heritable, if not more heritable than weaning weight. So even if you just go out and visually hair shed score your cows, you're gonna see a phenotypic or a productive change in those animals from one generation to the next.
Ready to tune in to the full conversation? Check out the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player as soon as you're done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Dr. Blaine Corners and Dr. Dan Tracy with Zoetis Animal Health, Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, and Shay Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the American Galvee Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Superior Livestock Productions and Superior Livestock Auction, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week for our 300th episode, where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.